produced by Zion Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 50, beginning at the fourth verse and following. It can be found on page 778 in your pew Bibles. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them who wear out like a garment, the moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 3, beginning at the first verse and following, and can be found on page 1298 in your pew Bibles. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so big and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever we will, or the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree by my brothers bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise out of respect for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, the 14th verse and following, can be found on page 1080 in your pew Bibles. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, focusing on Jesus' last words in the lesson. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is our text. You know, life is a miracle. And yet a lot of people don't see it that way. And part of that is due to the manner in which God goes about blessing and preserving us each and every day. It would be no different, for instance, if when you got up for breakfast this morning, manna from heaven just magically peered upon your kitchen table. And let's say you had a pet rock sitting around your house, if water just started to flow out of that, it would still be the same God providing for you as when you went out, got a job, earned some money, went to the grocery store, bought some groceries, brought them home, got up in the morning, fixed yourself some ham and eggs or cereal or whatever. It's all by a miracle of God. But in our sinful world, we tend to lose sight of that. We tend to think that the reason children are born is because of parents, not God. As we know from the way our world treats children today, we see them less and less as a miracle. Our culture even debates whether before they're born they're actually a human life. We have greater and greater difficulty seeing the hand of God in things. However, that sometimes changes. For instance, if instead of getting up this morning and going to your refrigerator or to your shelves and finding yourself something to fix up for breakfast, you suddenly found yourself in the middle of Death Valley, miles off the normal traveled paths, all alone, and the temperature was going to be 140 degrees today. And by normal human reckoning, even if you walked as far as you could walk, you would probably be buzzard food by the morning. In most circumstances, even those people who haven't been to church forever, who haven't picked up a Bible and read a single passage throughout their entire life, frequently get down on their knees and start to pray. There's that old adage, there's no atheists in foxholes. God, at various times and for his own reasons, sometimes doesn't give us what we need by normal means, but instead reserves his gifts to when we specifically go to him in prayer and ask him for something. The text that we have for today in our gospel lesson has always been a little difficult for people to understand. After all, if you read through the entire gospels, it's clear that Jesus had given to his apostles special powers. They were sent out to go out and heal people and to cast out demons in his name. And when they were sent on their missionary journeys and came back, they came back rejoicing and telling him how neat and wonderful it was. Even the demons are subject to them. And this particular father in our gospel lesson for today, who had heard about what his apostles could do, brought this child to them, who was afflicted even from birth with a terrible spirit that often tried to kill this child. And he begged the apostles to cast this demon out. And they tried. But things didn't work as they normally work. Just as sometimes in our own lives, we're going along, we're living life according to our normal means of living out life, and suddenly something goes wrong and we can't handle things anymore. And though this seems rather amazing to me and perhaps to you as well, though the disciples tried to cast this demon out, there is one thing they never tried. Prayer. Does that not seem amazing to you? That the apostles, our Lord themselves, when they're running into difficulties, didn't even stop to think, well, maybe we should pray about this one. But then again, how often haven't we been just like these apostles? I've noted this to you on many occasions before, but it's always worth repeating. Being in the ministry for 30 plus years, I've had a lot of people come into my office and wanting to talk to me about difficulties that they're having in their lives. And occasionally, one of the things I'll first ask them is, well, you know, what would Jesus say? And it's always been surprising to me how many people, when I ask them that question, tell me exactly what I believe, according to Scripture, Jesus would be saying to them. Then my next question is, well, then, why aren't you doing that? And there's usually one or two reasons for it. One is, well, I didn't want to. But the other one that's somewhat surprising is, well, it never occurred to me. Well, why didn't it occur to you? Well, because I never thought of it from his perspective. Guess what they didn't do? Pray. And while we're talking about prayer, we have to make somewhat clear exactly what prayer is. Prayer in its simplest form is simply us talking to God and laying our requests before Him. But unless you're talking to a wall, communication always involves two parts. It's not just you talking, but it's you also listening. I've always thought one of the greatest pictures of prayer is those pictures which many of you have in your homes. I know I have it in my home. My children have it in their homes as well. You know, it's that elderly woman and elderly man. They're sitting at a kitchen table or something like that. Their hands are folded. They're obviously in prayer. But before them is not only something maybe to munch upon, but before them is an open Bible. They're not just talking to God, they're listening to Him. Because, my friends, the only place God has ever promised to talk to us is in the Word and in the sacrament. Oh yeah, you might send lightning down or an angel and, you know, give you some vision. He's never done that with me. I think there's a lot of you out there that he's never done that with either. Oh yeah, you know, ideas, good ideas occasionally pop into your head, and much of that is due to you reading God's Word throughout your life, and suddenly something you learned long ago strikes you. But it is ultimately the Word, the Scriptures, that we go to learn what God has to say to us, to learn what His perspective is on life. When Jesus came down from heaven, it's because God wanted to make His revelation clear to mankind in unmistakable terms. The Gospel of John says that Jesus is the Word that became flesh and made His dwelling among us, that we might know grace and truth. It is that Word which died on the cross to pay for your sins, that you may be absolutely certain that you are forgiven before God. It's that Word which rose again on Easter morning, that you might be absolutely certain of your own resurrection. It is that Word which comes to you in the waters of baptism to assure you your sins are washed away. It is that Word which comes to us in the Lord's Supper. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and eat, this is my blood. Given for you, shed for you. God wants us to be clear and certain of His grace and His truth. And so He gives it to us in clear and certain forms. And in prayer, we're not just, as I said, talking to a wall, throwing up ideas. We're contemplating who God is, how He thinks, what He has revealed to us. But so often as sinners, we forget to go to Him. And though it is utterly miraculous that life exists, while it's utterly miraculous that this world exists, because before God spoke, there was nothing. His Word and His Word alone brings all this creation into existence and sustains it. It is an absolute miracle, but we forget that. And we begin to turn to our own means and devices and advice and counseling. And one day we show up in the pastor's office and say, "Hey, I got this big problem I can't fix." "Well, what would Jesus do?" "Oh, He'd do this." "Why aren't you doing that?" "Never thought of it that way before." "Why not?" "Because we haven't prayed." Jesus gave His apostles special authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons. But as unbelievable as it may seem, as they're going about doing this work, it appears that they come to believe, well, it's by my own strength and my power. I'm really talented. Look what I can do. And when they run into a little problem, some demon, some healing they can't do, they're amazed and perplexed. And what one thing didn't they bother to do? Pray about it. You can hear the frustration in Jesus' voice when that child is brought to him and he says, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? You didn't pray. Everything God does in our lives is a miracle, but we tend to forget it. And so, like the children of Israel, when they are out in the desert, God occasionally does things in our lives to remind us that we need to turn to Him for everything. They ran out of water, and until they asked, they didn't get any. And when they got some, it was miraculous water from a rock. They ran out of food. But until they came and asked Him, they didn't get any. And when they got it, it was miraculous manna from heaven. And when Scripture comments on those events in the Old Testament, when God tells His people why He did this, the answer is simply this: to teach them. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word in the mouth of God. We're here on Rally Day, getting our Sunday school restarted, having a renewed emphasis on the Word, because it is by that Word alone we live. Do you have friends who are having troubles that they can't work out? Do you see around you families that are self-destructing? Oh, they're trying different things. But have they gone to God? There is only one thing ultimately that saves us. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His forgiveness and His hope. There's only one God that can deliver us. And He's made known to us in only one place, in the Word and in the sacrament. God grant that we never forget where to turn in time of trouble and also in time of plenty. That our lives might be characterized by prayer and not just shouting to some nameless God. Not just speaking aloud with our ears plugged up, but real prayer. Talking to God and then listening to Him as He speaks to us in the Word. But let us also remind our friends and our neighbors and our relatives, the people we work with, all those out there who are struggling in life, where to go to pray. And to seek God in His Word. Because that is the only place where we ultimately can find healing. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.